You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Be here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today my special guest is Gary Deagle of Coastal Strength and Fitness in Newport News, and this is going to be pretty cool. This is a little bit different. I mean, Gary's got a really good business. What I think many people, including maybe Gary, would define as their ideal business, but I think what he's probably arrived at is what a lot of us do when we get to that stage in business where, yeah, it's pretty good. It's like, well, how do you keep progressing? Because you're not motivated or challenged by the same things that maybe we were in the beginning, that desperation or, man, I've just got to pay the bills or something like that. So I'm going to ask you, Gary, to maybe give some of your backstory, which is really cool, and kind of shift into where you are today. And then let's see if I can help you keep things moving forward. Okay. So welcome.
Hey, Pat. Yep. I'm glad to be on and thanks for the opportunity. I figured actually my situation would be very unique, so it would be good for your podcast. I am currently, I'm 33 years old, got a gym in Coastal Strength and Fitness in Newport News, Virginia. And a little backstory is I started probably like just about everyone in this industry when I was 20. I was a trainer, started part-time while I was finishing college, and eventually, you know, fell in love with it. I trained at like a big box Gold's Gym for 6.5 years until I knew eventually I would want to leave and have my own gym, that I didn't want to be there forever. And I didn't really know what that looked like, but one day, a guy who worked with me, who was a sales manager at the gym, he found a little gym on Craigslist, 24-hour style gym, and came to me and said, hey, we should do this. It's outside of our non-compete at the time, which was 30 miles, and it just needs some TLC. The landlord owns it and doesn't want to do anything with it. So he had a lot of the back-end experience, you know, working the front up. Or the front and back end at the gym. I was a trainer and I also had the money. It was $10,000 up front. And then we had to make payments starting within 12 months. So it was a perfect opportunity, you know, as far as not having a ton of money to open a gym from scratch. So me and him, we did that. And we learned a lot right from the beginning. You know, a lot of this stuff was kind of made up, like the amount of members they had and all that. But ultimately, we started hanging door hangers, doing yard signs, like real old school grassroots marketing because it was cheap and that's all we had and we had the time. So we did that. But basically over 4 years of that, we figured it out. We grew it to 3 locations. So we had 3 little 24-hour locations. Financially, I was doing well. I had freedom. You know, it was 24 hours. So I just really had to be there to sign up people, do some admin stuff. But I was miserable. It was just signing people up. You knew it didn't really work for them. They were going to call a bunch within a year to try to cancel. You had to tell them they can't cancel. I would just dread looking at my email every morning and answer and going and checking the voicemails. And I just knew like 5 years from now, 10 years from then, it wasn't going to be working for me. So I approached my business partner and basically we worked out a deal where, on an amount that he would pay me over 2 years. So, you know, I would exit the business. He would make monthly payments and yeah, I could do my own thing. So that's what we did. And it worked out. Our lawyer always said that's rare. That never happens much. But yeah, he made the payments over the 2 years. I started Coastal Strength and Fitness. This was 4.5 years ago. So it was good because I had some money coming in from that business. I didn't have to have money right away. And right when I started, I hired a coach, Luca Hosevar, who is, I believe, he's in the group with us as well. And I learned a lot from him and he forced me to hire people, you know, do all the things you're supposed to do. And basically I hired him right when I started turning a profit. So I did the whole, when I started Coastal, human billboard. So I got just told 25 people, hey, come train for free. for 2 months and post it on Facebook, refer your friends. And I had 3 month no rent payment, so I didn't have a lot of expenses. And after the 2 months, I basically signed up 17 out of the 20, stayed as regular members, and of course they referred people. So first profit, hired a coach, forced me to do the things I knew I would put off, like hiring employees. And yeah, hired my first employee trainer. He started training part-time. And those first 2 years, yeah, we grew the business. As it grew, I hired another guy who was actually a client. And then I was at another crossroads. So this was 2 years in with Coastal Strength and Fitness. And I have lived in Newport News, born and raised, very comfortable. I visited Santa Monica a bunch in California and loved it because, you know, you go out there 75 and sunny every day. And I was confident in my team and really my wife and I, she's a teacher. I knew she could get a job. We have no kids. This was the time. So I moved across the country and was living out there. And, you know, it was scary and it pushed me and it pushed my team. And right before then, I hired two more people on. So they were kind of part-time. But at that point, so as I left, we had four employees. I was in a little, my original 1900 square foot space. And yeah, so I was out in California running the gym from afar. Learned a lot. You know, our EFT went down and we battled through and it was scary. And a lot of people left right away when I left, you know, some of the early members, that whole deal. And being out in California, so I learned a lot with that. It was almost like a master's degree and, you know, loved it out there, all the weather. And but over time, I started to realize I missed, you know, you don't have anywhere to go. I just missed going into the gym, you know, even though I wasn't coaching anymore, but just being around my team. And I was like, well, it's either start something out here in California, but ultimately that where we were in Southern California, Santa Monica, is just a huge investment. And truthfully, my heart really wasn't in it. I love Coastal Strength and Fitness. And since I knew what it felt like to hate a business because I had the 24-hour gyms, I didn't have that feeling. So, and all our families in Virginia. So ultimately we decided to come back. And right when I got back, it was the right decision. And but moving away was the right decision too, because, you know, there's a lot of what ifs that are answered. And yeah, so I moved back in July a few months ago and yeah, gotten back in the groove. And also, since then, we also moved into a new facility, which pushed me because I'm super type A. So we actually, I trusted my team. They found a facility and said, hey, this is what we want. So I never even saw it in person and did the whole process of, you know, getting the lease done and doing all that and getting it set up and moving in and build out all that. I was in California. My team did that. That was over December and January this year. So we moved into a new facility. It was 4,000 square feet, so a little bigger. And yeah, and it's done great. And we've increased more. So here we are. We're at I'm back, and our systems are rocking. We are at our peak EFT, peak revenue. I operate off of systems, so we have all our systems down. You know, I work off of a profit margin. What is it? The pay yourself first, profit first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I 30% every month goes right in. So we operate off that. So I know how much I'm making and that we're getting a profit. And then I actually, a question a lot of people will probably have, because I notice in our virtual fitness mastermind groups, a lot of people struggle with turnover with their employees. So those same four employees, I still have all of them and I pay them a salary. So, you know, and then they can also cover each other. So they pretty much get unlimited time off. What's funny is they probably take way less than they need to and should, but they have a lot of flexibility. They kind of work split shifts. So really two of them cover the morning, two of them cover the evening. They each then have a little work they do based off of what they enjoy. As far as one of them likes doing some of the admin stuff. So she does admin. We have a trainer that does some of the media stuff. And then a trainer that does some of the accountability with Coach Catalyst. So following up with clients in that regard. So that, you know, it's a great situation. And now that I'm back, I'll say I was gone in super owner mode. So I didn't have to be here at all. So even though I'm home, I still don't really have to be here at all. I do my stuff in the morning, come in the afternoon and kind of, I guess you could say, kick it with the afternoon people, you know, so see people, shake hands and dap people up and, you know, just good energy. But it's, for me, like meeting with my team in person has been super powerful and something I missed. And so we're able to do that. So that's kind of the wrap up, Pat, of my, let's see, I'm 33 now. And so that's 13 years, and eight, almost 9 years as a business owner, half with the 24-hour gym, which I sold and got out of. And now I'm 4.5 years with Coastal, which has given me the income I want, the flexibility and freedom I want. I wake up fired up every day for it. That's kind of where I am today now. The reason I applied for this call was to kind of get your advice, because I know you had gyms and have pushed yourself as a business person and evolved. And I know, a lot of that happens organically. So I think it's really more, I always want to be creating, obviously driving our revenue and profit up so I can also give more opportunities for my employees. So without opening a second physical location, we've messed around with some of the online stuff, but really ended up noticing that it almost just pulls away from the regular gym, and we can really just increase the, focus on our regular processes and get more members that way. But we do probably only have room for about 20 or 30 more. So maybe another 4K with our gym EFT, and then we would be pretty tapped out at that point. So I would say from that point forward, what would be a good way to drive our monthly EFT revenue up without a ton of expenses?
What are you charging per client now?
So we charge $167. It's a group training, larger group. So we average about 10 people a class. Certain peak times have up to 20. So about $167. We do have one thing we do, but we've always done it. We should probably raise our price going forward. But then if you want to add a spouse on, it's $99 for the second person. So that brings really our average member monthly payment to around $140, $145 is basically our average person. And we're between 200 and 250 people at an average of $145, and we could 300 would be the max.
Yeah. So obviously, we've got the kind of proverbial J. Abraham's three ways to grow a business. We get more clients, we get clients to pay more, we get clients to stay longer. Well, the stay longer thing, once you get to capacity, somebody staying longer, as long as you're at 300, whoever comprises that 300, it doesn't necessarily change if it's the same person staying longer or a new person, other than the cost of acquisition up front. Right? You're not going to have room for new people, it doesn't seem, unless you decide to try to monetize maybe off-peak hours in some way that you're not currently, which is an option, right? I mean, because at some point we know that, just like in a retail business, Black Friday through Christmas is a peak season. We know when our peak hours are. That doesn't mean you can't find ways to make a little bit more out of the off-peak hours. You certainly can. It's just, you're going to be talking about adding, a couple $1,000s a month, not growing by like 50%. So it seems like the first option that you have at your disposal is, how do you earn more per current client, per current member, however you want to think about it? Have you done a raise your rates type of campaign yet?
No, we slowly, since I started, raise the rates of new people coming in, so we started at say 130 a month and 150 and 167, but we've never actually, and it's, in hindsight, when we moved into the new location, that was a good time, because, we did, also, our employees all became full-time. So there was a lot going on to where people would recognize the investments, So that would, and then moving into the new location, new stuff, bigger, that would have been the time. But yeah, we've never actually raised rates on current people.
But you're highly effective at bringing people in and converting them into long-term clients, right?
Yeah. So, I know all my numbers. We aim for 15 to 20 front-end offers a month. And then we convert at least 50% of them onto membership.
So the first thing that I would look at doing would be potentially to raise your ongoing fee for this last 30, 40, 50 people to $197, $199 a month.
Yeah.
And now that's creating a pretty big spread between the people who are paying 130 and the people who are paying 197. And, you know, after I've raised it to 197 or 199, after that's kind of gained some ground there, sometime probably in January, February, when people are probably not very likely to leave, I might look at raising the rates and trying to close some of that gap. You know, they know that you're close to capacity, especially if you're telling them that you're about at capacity. And, you know, maybe the objective is to get those people paying 137 up to 157, 167, which they still feel like they're getting a deal over what the current rates are. And they are still getting a deal. I mean, it's still, you know, $360 a year better than new clients are being paid. So they're rewarded for their longevity. But you're making, I mean, at that point, quite a bit more money per month and earning it. I mean, it's a fair value exchange. I mean, it's clear, especially that you've moved into a new facility and you've upgraded the experience. Yeah. Well, you're giving more in the value exchange. It's probably not a big ask to ask them to invest a dollar a day additional. So to me, that's kind of, as long as somebody hasn't come out up front and said, look, this is what we've capped you at, you'll never pay more, then I think raising the rate to get things more in line with the value you're providing is a fair ask. So I would start there. I mean, if you're good at selling, which you clearly are, raise for new people, then kind of go around and pull up the rates for the back end. And once you've done that, then, you know, the next option would be looking at monetizing off peak hours, or are there things that you can do to either expedite the results that you're delivering people? Do they want some one-on-one extra attention in some way, shape, or form? Do you want to add in anything ancillary, supplements, anything like that? I mean, I've got clients where 25% of their gross revenue comes from supplement sales. I wouldn't say that's the norm, but it certainly is an option. And then there are other kind of one-off things that you can do that don't require you to monetize within your four walls: corporate programs, offsite programs, hosting seminars or workshops, things that don't necessarily tie up your floor space during peak hours, and they don't diminish the experience for your existing clients, but they allow you to make a little bit more and maybe have a little bit broader impact than you can fit in 4,000 square feet.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff. It's funny. A lot of times it's just, you know, hearing what you already know. You know, like I've kicked around the going to 197 because, you know, we lose, you know, three or four people a month. And yeah, eventually if you replace those with, you know, from 167 to 197, you know, you do the math over a year, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And then for those 197s, even if you're offering them some sort of incentivized deal for a spouse or something, 129, 149 is still a steal, right? I mean, they're getting a great deal, but that's pulled your average per person up really significantly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right. So if that's the big item, anything else you want to work on? Any other questions you have?
No, pretty much getting good reinforcement on stuff I've heard you mention before, you know, and also, you know, I guess maybe kind of more, it's not as direct, but like, what would your advice be as far as, you know, other opportunities? Or I know you've had gyms and you were going, thinking about multiple locations, you know, that ended up not working out, and licensing and all of that, basically the value of not of contentment. What's your advice with that, with helping with that?
That's a good one. So I know in my in my business today versus maybe my businesses in the past. And I think in every stage, there's been a degree of this where, you know, I think part of what drives somebody to build their ideal business, you know, that entrepreneurial kind of spirit, if you want to call it that, or that kind of way that we're wired, it doesn't lend itself to just sitting back and just keeping the machine running, right? You're always looking for ways to tinker, to improve, other opportunities. So I know that originally, which you referred to, you know, originally when I had two locations, looking at other physical locations, I felt like it was taking me away from where my ultimate goals were. And that was to kind of control where I was at time-wise and geographically. I wanted to be home more. I wanted to spend more time with family, which kind of steered me more towards the scaling in a way that allowed me to have more control over that, where I was going to be scaling online, scaling through sharing coaching or intellectual property, instead of going and opening up a dozen different locations and running around to those. But I don't think it ever crossed my mind that, okay, this is as far as I'm going with this, right? So now, as I've kind of built this next iteration professionally, what I've done, I think probably falls a little bit in line with the question you've got to answer for yourself is, okay, I know what my ideal business is. I know the things I like to do. I hand off the vast majority of things that I don't necessarily get a lot of joy out of doing. And usually that's a lot of administrative work, or I scale things, you know, the guys that help me coach, the Justin Yules, the Fred Zollers, I scale with people philosophically who align with what I'm doing. But where I'm willing to invest my time now is only in places where I get to play my best role, only where I can stay in my lane, so to speak. And I don't necessarily restrict that to businesses. Like, maybe it's consulting with another business, doing the things that I like doing and sharing that. Maybe it's having an ownership stake in another business where I'm only doing the things that I like doing, and that kind of dictates maybe how much ownership I would have, but more importantly, it dictates the role that I would have and the value I bring. You know, so I think in your case, if you think about, okay, what do I really like in this business? What really excites me about going to work every day? And if that's coaching other people, if that is helping people with, I mean, you've obviously developed an effective team. If that's helping other entrepreneurs with team building, maybe it's helping people create businesses that they can operate from afar, which obviously you've done. And maybe that's in fitness. Maybe that's in businesses in the, you know, East Coast businesses, maybe, you know, I mean, maybe you package up your IP and share it with other people. There are a lot of different ways that you can go. Scaling certainly doesn't mean I have to go lease another space and build out another space and outfit another space and equipment. We live in such an interesting time where, I mean, businesses like Uber or Airbnb don't own any inventory to speak of, and they can scale, right? So I would tell you to scale more about the things that you really like. And it seems like you've been able to dig into that a lot between leaving a business you didn't enjoy and moving across the country and kind of figuring out the parts of it that you missed. So, I mean, figure out how far you can go while you're playing to your strengths and doing things that excite you. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Pat Beef, who owns Athletes Acceleration and NSPA, but we jointly own an area-exclusive licensing program tied to the Athletes Acceleration brand. And I play my role in that business, and that's it. Like, I don't get outside of my lane. And it's been a ton of fun just as we're kind of getting this off the ground. I think we've got 17 or 18 locations so far. And as long as I get to stay in my lane, it's going to be a ton of fun because I'm getting to help coaches build a business they want. So if you figure out what that is for you and at the same time figure out certainly what it is not for you, kind of your non-negotiable, put those guardrails in place, and you got plenty of options.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. It's funny you say that. A client of mine at the gym is actually opening a barbershop, and I've been helping them through that. I'm like, oh, this is nice because I get to like teach them some Facebook ads and the importance of driving, creating a relationship. You know, I'm big on email marketing and the ads to create that relationship, and I have the confidence in it. And, you know, teaching him that and watching him go through the process, it's been fun and exciting, but I don't have, you know, it's not my lease and building, so like it's not stressful as much. And so that's kind of a good little itch there now that you mentioned it. And yeah, that helps a lot.
Yeah, I had a similar conversation with Doug Sperling the other day, and I know you alluded to Doug maybe before we went live. And I think Doug goes through some of that same stuff because he's got a great business. And I think he likes sharing his knowledge and expertise. He gets some fulfillment out of that. But I think he's also figured out that he likes being face-to-face with people a lot of the time. So some of the remote coaching was maybe a little bit less appealing to him than that opportunity to walk in that kind of proverbial barbershop and actually connect with people in person. So I think figuring some of that stuff out matters too. There's certainly, I know for me, I like in-person coaching a great deal. And I couldn't imagine having a business that was entirely virtual. I had coaching clients in on Friday. I'll be face-to-face with coaching client tomorrow and another one on Friday this week. And so I think you're at a point where you've earned the right to make decisions based on preferences, not desperation.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And thanks for, kind of leading by example with that as well. So,
yeah. Man, my pleasure. And I love the story, and I love being able to share an episode of the Ideal Business Show here where we get to talk about somebody who's already been pretty far down this road. Because I know a lot of the times we got people that are pursuing their ideal business, but they haven't gotten particularly close to, I guess, what you would call a finish line, even though I think what we all recognize once we get there that it's a moving target.
That's true. Like that's the hard part, you know, so, but it's what makes it fun and worth it. And I know also for me, I'm in the Virtual Fitness Mastermind and Fitness Lead Academy, and you know, those products that you've created have been perfect for me. Like I had super great time with Luca on a very high end in person coaching program in the early days. And eventually when I got to a certain point, I didn't need that anymore, but then I felt a little alone. You know, and then that's when I stumbled on you and just matched up well with your personality and your team. And then it was just exactly what I was looking for to help me not feel alone and just get great tips that I'm and little applicable steps that I'm able to apply in certain places and just kind of keep me on top of my game. So, thanks again for those different levels of your coaching, and it's great stuff.
Well, hey, my pleasure. And obviously I'm a fan of Luca's as well. One of my favorite guys in the industry and somebody I've got a long relationship with. And, that's what's great about this is I think there are so many ways to go improve and keep growing. And, you know, the people that embrace that instead of think they've got it all figured out or allow themselves to be on an island are always the ones who thrive. And it is pretty, pretty cool that you've continued to stay connected and keep evolving and just keep, you know, you get this point of security in your business where you're like, you know, I'm doing all this stuff pretty well, but I'm always open to finding one little tweak to get a little bit better.
And I think, and you mentioned earlier, like how I'm probably good at sales. And it's funny, I'm not a natural salesman, but you know, when I'm spending money on coaching and investing in that stuff, well, that's exactly what I'm asking people to do, right? So then it filters down to me being confident, my team being confident in selling, because we do, like, what we're selling is what we buy as well. So it's, you know, it's all connected.
Very cool. Well, man, I appreciate you making the time. I appreciate you being a great example for everybody else listening in. And as always, I appreciate everybody listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show. So thanks again. And this is us signing off.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks again for checking out another episode of the Ideal Business Show. Let me tell you about four different ways that I can help you build your own ideal business, and you'll be able to find more information about all of these in the show notes. First, you can complete the Ideal Business Scorecard. There's a proven framework for creating your ideal business, and you can find out how you score across all 8 ideal business rules by simply filling out a quick quiz. Second, you can join our Business Growth Accelerator program and become a case study. Each month, we take on a couple new clients as case studies in our BGA program where we guarantee you a $4,000 a month increase in recurring revenue. If you'd like to work with me, Justin Yule, Fred Zoller, and build your clientele and recurring revenue, check out the link in the show notes. Third, you can become part of our exclusive Ideal Business Academy coaching group. My favorite thing to do professionally is to help entrepreneurs like you build your own ideal business. If you'd like to learn more about how we can work together to make that happen, go to the show notes and click the link, Ideal Business Academy. And then finally, fourth, you can join our Fitness Lead Academy. If you feel like you need more leads for your business, but you don't want to pay for an agency to run your ads, just click on the Fitness Lead Academy link and learn more. We'll be opening territories again soon, and those who fill in the form will be at the front of the line to secure their own location.